Another new partner we're excited about, Chalkboard. Imagine an app that brings your sports betting group chat to life. An app that can link to your sports book so you can really easily share your bets with a simple click while following the game through a live in-chat score banner that makes it feel like you're in the stadium. Does this sound too good to be true? Well, not anymore. Chalkboard has turned sports betting into a complete group experience. Compete against your friends for the top spot on the leaderboard and share your winning bets in the message board as well. Be the expert with Chalkboard. Download today through the App Store and be sure to join the Odds Honest Truth, new sports betting podcast from right here at In the Money. That board will get you free money each and every week. Go to the App Store and download the Chalkboard app today and make sure you hook up with our friends over from Odds Honest Truth. Welcome to a special edition of the In the Money Players Podcast. This is our show that will be dropping on Wednesday, December 1st, but this is an annual tradition at this point, the third one of these we've done. It's the Degenerates Gift-Giving Guide. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornatel, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker. Once again, I am suffering some effects of the red eye back from San Diego. So if there's a host fail or two along the way today, you can blame it squarely on me. Or if the vocal cords sound a little rough, that's what's going on there. But very happy to kick off the show. We got a slew of guests, but we're going to be kicked off by one who's joined us on the first two of these, and I'm really excited to catch up with her now. She is an author and does a fantastic job putting together an annual gift-giving guide. We'll talk about that as well. Her most recent book to be published, Sir Barton and the Making of the Triple Crown. She's Jennifer Kelly. How are you?
I'm great, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How's the progress going on this year's gift-giving guide? Let's start there.
Well, after some fits and starts relating to having a lot on my plate, unfortunately.
We know how that goes.
I finally got the book guide up and I've got the gift guide up. So if you are on the hunt for books as gifts this year, I've got a few choices. If you're on the hunt for other items to give to your horsey person, I've got those as well.
Excellent. We're going to do some of the highlights, but we want folks to obviously check out the gift guides in full. Where can people find those?
I have a new blog for the book that I'm currently working on about Gallant Fox in Omaha. It is called The Foxes of Bel Air. And so that is the address, foxesofbelair.com.
Excellent. Well, we might talk to you a little bit more about your current literary project a little bit later in the show, but I feel like the first conversation we ever had on this topic was related to books. A lot of the listeners out there are also avid readers, and obviously books make a great gift as well. What are you most excited about that came out this year? Do you have a few highlights?
Well, I've got three that I identified that I think are fabulous. Two for the grown-ups, one for the kids. For the kids, Roll Cyrus Roll. Now, I'm sure, Pete, you've seen this online.
Yep.
Chris Brown and everybody at Designated Hitters have shared the travails of Cyrus trying to learn how to roll.
It was very funny stuff on social media.
Yes. And he, you know, put a smile on all of our faces last year when we were trying to figure out if this poor colt would ever roll. Well, Chris and company have turned it into a book for kids, which is fantastic. And part of the proceeds go to the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. So when
Fantastic. You
buy the book, not only do you get the book, but you get to donate to the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation.
So, I love that. We're going to have Kim Weir as our next guest, actually. I've already recorded that segment, so now I can't bring that up with her. But here's another way, in addition to some of the things we're going to talk about, you can support TRF. And I agree. I mean, hey, reward people who made you smile at a time when we all needed more of that in our lives. And if you have a child in your life you're looking to indoctrinate into the horse racing lifestyle, it feels like Roll Silas Roll would be a good place to start.
It is. It's adorable. It's got great illustrations. It's a very apropos story about a horse that decides to do things his own way. and the lessons that come from that, the value of friendship, finding joy in your own, you know, way of doing things. It's all universal to any family and any kid, and I highly recommend picking one up for the small people in your life.
That's fantastic. What about on the, you know, the adult avid reader? What's been out for people who are looking for more great content about horses and or horse racing?
Well, I got two that I, you know, happened to be published by my publisher, which is kind of convenient because I got a copy of them. I got the Racing for America by Jamie Nicholson, which is a wonderful book that explores the Zev versus Papyrus match race in 1923. But in addition to covering that, Jamie also touches on the gambling and how the, you know, prohibition against gambling almost killed the sport, and then how it was revived, and then how this match race played into the health of the sport long term.
That's great.
And so it's a fabulous book because it's after Sir Barton and Man O' War, but before you get into the 30s. So you get this kind of story that's in between where you have the post, you know, racing almost died because nobody wanted to, you know, keep gambling around because it's a vice. But pre-Depression, when the sport expanded because states were looking for ways to, you know, increase revenue. So it's this in-between, which is the Roaring Twenties, but it also touches on, like, topics like the Teapot Dome scandal, you know, personalities like Harry Sinclair, you know, in Sinclair Oil, and Rancocas Stable and Sam Hildreth. So it's just a wonderful story all around, but Jamie does it in such a way that I couldn't put it down. I just love reading all of it. So,
oh, that sounds great. That is such a period of the sport that's so important and I know nothing about. Remind us the title on that one again.
It's called Racing for America, the Horse Race of the Century and the Redemption of a Sport. So this is an important moment because it bridges that gap between the first part of the 20th century, pre-Man O' War, and then the immediate post Man O' War era before you get into like the Triple Crown and the stars of the 30s and the 40s.
I mean, pretty cool when you get a Derby winner and a Derby winner yes. facing off, right? I mean, racing is amazing because this is a story that I just feel like there was a point in my life where if I'd seen this, this was a book that I would have demanded exist. And when I was in book publishing, tried to go out and find somebody to tell the story. I love how it just ties in so many different threads. And yet I'll be honest with you, barely aware of it until now. So, I mean, it just shows you how rich of a tapestry the history of the sport is that you can find stories like this. And I'll tell you right now, I'm adding this one to my Christmas list.
Well, it's wonderful because it's just so rich. And it's like, since I do a lot of scholarship in this area, I was already kind of familiar with the story. But really, the way Jamie lays it out, it gives you an understanding of how we got from this particular race in 1923 all the way to 1984 in the inaugural Breeders' Cup. Because really, if you hadn't had an international event like this, you know, it would have taken longer and it would have required more for people to really want to put something together like Breeders' Cup. So this is kind of that vein of setting the stage for.
I love it. That's a great idea. And this idea of how the economics of the sport shifted from bookie to paramutual and how that all went down. I'm sure that gets covered in there. I'm ordering my copy right now. Couldn't be more excited for Racing for America. You mentioned you had another title as well.
Yes, Lenny Shulman put out a collection of interviews this year, also published by the University Press of Kentucky, called Head to Head, Conversations with a Generation of Horse Racing Legends. And I love this book because it's not just Kentucky hard boots. It's trainers and owners and, you know, veterinarians and celebrities and just a broad swath of people that have touched the industry, generally within the last 20 years or so, that Lenny has interviewed during his time with the Blood Horse and then collects here. So it's one of those books where you don't necessarily have to read it from, you know, from cover to cover. You can kind of pick it up at any point and read, you know, here's what Bo Derek had to say about, you know, these topics. Here's what Dr. Bramlage had to say about stuff. Here's an interview with Penny Shenery. Here's an interview with Mary Lou Whitney. So you get you know, Lenny's discussions with these people, and some of whom have passed on. You know, you get to hear what insights he was able to get from them during his conversation. So it's, I love it because the Penny Shinnery one opens their book, and it just blew me away that he got to talk to Penny not once but twice. So you get some real insight into, you know, what happened with Secretariat and kind of her perspectives on that time.
Oh, that's great. And Lenny is terrific. Mm-hmm. And certainly the portfolio of contacts he would have accrued throughout his career. I mean, just looking at the names here, you mentioned Penny Shinnery and Paul Redham and Mr. Hancock. There's going to be a lot to unpack with this one as well. So those are both grade one book, actually all three, including the title for kids, three grade one book recommendations from you, Jennifer. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, always try, if anyone that's listening ever comes across a book that is new that they think I need to, you know, share on a guide like this, please send it my way, because yeah, I try very hard to stay abreast of what comes out, but you know, publishing is a wide swath of material and there's a lot of companies doing it and sometimes you miss things. So by all means, if one of your listeners has something that we need to draw attention to, tell them to share it with me because I want to read
it. That's great. What's the best way for them to do that? Twitter or through your blog?
Blog, Twitter, Instagram. I'm everywhere.
What is your Insta and your Twitter for people to
know? Well, the main one for Twitter is at the Sir Barton. For the new project, it's at Foxes of Bel Air. And same for Instagram as well.
Okay. So we can find you according to the book titles and pass things along. So I just started this new venture, and we'll see how it goes, but we're going to be publishing some books over here under the imprimatur PTF Press. The first one I did is a passion project, did a whole other podcast on this, getting together with my old friend Jay Atkinson, who wrote a book for me when I was at Random House 20 years ago called Ice Time, which if you are somebody who enjoys reading literary nonfiction, if you have any interest at all in hockey or the storytelling milieu of a small town New England, or a story about familial bonds, I'm going to tell folks, you got to check out Ice Time. Best way to get that is probably to just go to Jay Atkinson's page on Amazon, or to go into your local independent bookseller and tell them, hey, there's this new book, this 20th anniversary of Ice Time by Jay Atkinson. Have them order it if you want to support them and do it that way. But I'm hoping in future, assuming this does well, assuming, you know, there's a lot of assumptions going on here, but hopefully we're going to be putting out more gambling content. And obviously those are the type of books, you know, we're seeing fewer and fewer of them published as the year goes on in terms of like instructional stuff, but hopefully we're going to get back and I can bring some of my titles back into print and some other writers as well. So just something to think about. You'll be hearing all about PTF Press here on the network as the story develops. Right now, Ice Time, the only thing available. And yeah, support us. Go look for the hardcover, Jay Atkinson. You got to be careful because there's some of the 20-year-old edition around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not going to help me or the author. And you're not going to get all the best content because, you know, you're not going to get my new forward, Jay's new afterward, et cetera, et cetera. But look for that 20th anniversary edition as far as that goes. Other than books, Jennifer, I know you have some other ideas, things we've talked about in the past. Where are you pointing people this year for their degenerate gifts?
Oh, the gift guide. Every year I try to come up with some things to suggest to people, because when I start making my Christmas list, my family tells me I'm too hard to shop for, which I find to be inaccurate because I have no problem shopping for me. So, I like, this is the gift guide is, you know, partly these are what other horsey people hopefully will get into, and partly like these are stores that I like that I have had good experiences with, and I hope that others will, you know, use them as well. So the first one I always suggest, which she may or may not be excited about, is Amy's Horse Racing Gifts.
Oh no, the Amy stuff is great. We've talked about that, that before on the show, and you find is it still largely Facebook based?
Yes. She is mostly Facebook. She does not want to expand. She thinks that this is the best way to go. And I can't blame her. It's hard when you have like an Etsy store or something to do all that. That takes a lot of work. So she is Amy's Horse Racing Gifts on Facebook. I've got the link in the gift guide. She is my go-to when I need something unique. I've got all the Triple Crown winners ornaments on my Christmas tree. I've got the Ross Stable Silks as a wreath that she made for me, hanging in my office. She's made so many things for me. And with Operation Gift Horse, by the way, if anybody's doing Operation Gift Horse, on the agenda, she's hopefully going to be making something for the person that I have been matched up with so that I can send them something special for them. So if you have a horse racing person in your life that's a fan of a horse that might be kind of obscure, Amy is the person to go to. She had, and then if you watch America's Day at the Races with Gary Stevens and all them, if you see Gary at home, you'll notice a couple of pillows behind him.
Yes,
Those were made by
yes.
Amy.
Very cool. Very,
So she
very
does
cool.
all sorts of stuff. And, if you get your orders in now, should be able to get them in by the holiday. And she is fantastic. She'll do almost anything.
That's great. That it, for crafty people, and the Christmas ornament angle is fantastic too. I mean that could be an annual gift for me. I might add a couple of those to my list as well. What else do you have featured in the gift giving guide this year?
Oh, let's see. I've got Odds and Hind Ends, which is a friend of mine on Etsy. She does stickers and t-shirts and keychains and stuff. Frosted, Tis the Law, Curlin, Rachel Alexandra. She's got stuff like that on there. For the equestrians who may not be necessarily horse racing oriented, Gray Horse Candle Company has some fabulous soy candles that are in familiar scents, like cedar shavings, peppermint, hay, stuff like that. So you can make your house smell like a barn.
In the good ways, in all the good
Without,
ways.
without the pesky, other smell that might linger if you don't want it to. There's that. There's a new shop I discovered called Ingate Goods, which I'm fascinated because they make ceramic Christmas ornaments that look like horse coats. So if you have a gray horse, it shows like the different colors that are in a gray horse's coat. And same with a chestnut and stuff like that. And I thought it was really neat because it got into the like up close of a coat
Yes.
reproduced in an ornament. And then also in like, notebooks. And other types of like stationary type things. And I thought that was really cool. And that was my new thing for the year. And I'll always go for like Old Smoke, which I'm sure, Pete, you've got your share of Old Smoke
Oh
items.
yeah, and Kurt's coming on. Kurt's dropping by a little bit later. We're going to wrap
Okay,
up the
good.
show with him. But
I put the Graveyard of Champions t-shirt on my wish list for this year because it has Gallant Fox on it. And it was one of the only shirts I don't have. But they have
Yep.
such a vast selection from JK's, button-up shirts and those prints, those very cool prints to there's a Knicks Go shirt, there's a Big Money Mike shirt. I mean, just anything you can think. The Seattle Slew shirt I really want to, but I had to like cap it at one shirt before I just got t-shirts only for Christmas. But I mean, there's so many things at Old Smoke for fans of so many ilks, whether you're a Secretariat fan, you're a handicapper, whatever, there's something. So
No, that's great suggestion for sure.
I always try to plug them, and I always try to plug calendars because for some reason I love calendars.
They're cool. We've got, it's funny, we've got two other calendars that are going to be discussed later in the show, so I'll jump in and mention Kim was planning on talking about the This Is Horse Racing calendar,
Yes.
which is always popular, and that also comes with a $5 donation to the TRF. And then Michelle Yu, who'll be here a little later on, was going to talk about the calendar that will be available on opening day of Santa Anita. So a little bit late to give under the tree, but if you're seeing a family member or a friend who's a racing person after the 26th, you can't always see everybody pre-holiday. Maybe you can grab the calendar at Santa Anita and give that to them. Were those on your list of calendars you were going to mention, and what else do you have?
Well, this is horse racing for sure because I've already ordered mine.
Nice.
And then my friend Bob Clark, he's doing a calendar this year. And so, Bob does portraits of horses, And so Bob's collected another year's worth of portraits into a calendar, and I included the link to order that because I usually have one too. I have an Oakline calendar too, which I was fortunate to have someone send me. It's like, if somebody wants to send me a Santa Anita calendar, I will. I would love to have that.
You'll take it. I like the sound of it. The sound of it.
Those are the two that I had for this year. Were, you know, Bob's, and then of course the guys at This Is Horse Racing, just because. Yeah, I can't wait to get mine.
That's so cool. Well, folks can check out the entire gift giving guide and also the book specific piece. They're both up at foxesofbelair.com. Before I let you go, I just want to ask you, you know, as a writer myself, publishing person myself, how is the Foxes of Bel Air project going? Do you have a release date yet, or is it all TBD from this far out?
Well, officially it's TBD. So I'm still writing. I am about 80% done, which is fantastic, but that means I still have 20% left to go, plus, you know, revisions and other topics. So I'm hoping to get it finished in the first half of 2022, but we shall see how it goes. So currently I'm still writing, and it's fabulous. I'm having a lovely time hanging out with Gallant Fox in Omaha, and I have explored topics I never thought I would explore. And I've had to email lots of people in England, which has been fun because English horse racing is very different from American horse racing in some ways. And so it's been a lot of fun to work on this one, and I can't help but start thinking about the next project, but I got to get this one.
Well, for sure. And we will point folks back to the Sir Barton book. If you haven't have that one in your collection already, the Making of the Triple Crown, it's a great story, incredibly well researched and written. And if you don't own it already, add that to your list as well.
And you can get a signed copy if you want, because
tell us about that.
A friend of mine runs The Snail on the Wall, which is a pop-up bookshop. And she's the one that provides my signed copy. So if you want a signed copy of Sir Barton, you can go to her store at The Snail on the Wall and order it. And then when you order the book, if you want it personalized in some way, you can like leave the message in there. And I can personalize it for whomever with whatever message you like, and, you know, get it done soon just to accommodate for holiday shipping, which is always a fun experience. But we should have, you know, about 10 copies available for anyone who wants one.
I've got my idea. So I just figured out what I'm getting Jonathan for Christmas. I'm going to get a copy of the Sir Barton book, and I'm going to say to him, I'm so glad I plucked you from obscurity, and or it'll be from your voice, so it'll be like you saying to him, I'm so glad PTF plucked you from obscurity, and we'll set it. We can do that type of thing?
Sure. I have no problem with cheek. If you want me to give someone a hard time, I'm your girl.
That's how we're going to play it. Remind folks for the signed books again that URL.
It's snailonthewall.com, I think.
Excellent.
I have to double check it and make sure. I'm pretty sure this is.
If it's not that, send a tweet and I'll amplify it just so we can get the correct information out there. But Jennifer, thank you so much for really, I think the fun that I have talking to you is the reason we've turned this into an annual tradition and the great work that you do. So, you know, check out Foxes of Bel Air, and Jennifer Kelly, we'll have you back on soon.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks, Pete.
So happy to be working with our latest partners, Adelphi Racing Club. Adelphi is a club of like-minded people who enjoy horse racing and the camaraderie of being part of something bigger than themselves. Adelphi offers an interactive ownership experience with real-time access to other partners, trainers, bloodstock advisors, and members of the team, as well as frequent multimedia updates on their horses, including videos, photos, and partner-only podcast content. Gee, who's going to provide that? Really excited to be working with them and the way that they give premium on-track and off-track hospitality experiences. Adelphi have an exciting class of yearling prospects available now, including Salivo, a Street Sense filly headed to Ray Handel, and a yet-to-be-named Taprit colt who will be going to Christophe Clement in the spring. Join the club. You can learn more at AdelphiRacing.com. You can reach out to Matt at AdelphiRacing.com or follow on social via Instagram at Adelphi_racing or Twitter at Adelphi Club. Next up on the show, a familiar voice around here, we call her the first lady of the In the Money Players podcast from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. It's Kim Weir. Kim, we're coming upon our anniversary. It's the holiday season.
I know. It's time to go to yoga class together, Pete. We need to rekindle that magic.
For those that don't know, the very first partner, our founding partner on the network, this came up. You know, we sort of very suddenly launched the show 3 years ago and ran into Kim, who we met just a couple times at the Paddock Bar, plenty of mutual friends, and more or less out of the blue, oh, heard about the new show. You think you might have room for a charity sponsor? And here we are 3 years later. We've done some great work together, and we're hoping to keep that magic going. And you've been on these degenerate gift giving shows before, and I know you always have a lot of special ideas as far as potential gifts for horse players or for the horse player in your life. And we're going to start off. We're going to do a whole other segment on the show on whiskey a little bit later on with our friends from First Fill Spirits up in Saratoga Springs. A great store if you haven't been there yet, Kim. You'll love that place.
Yeah.
But we'll tease that for now. Let's talk about the whiskey options because, you know, people might remember about our In the Money rye aged for the 4 additional months in the apple brandy barrel, which makes it a very nice wintertime sipper, in my opinion. But you've got a special offer that's going to be available to our listeners that I think people could get excited about. This is a pretty cool one.
It is very cool. And it starts with just a great big thank you to you, Pete, and the entire In the Money Network for the work we've done together and you've done on behalf of the horses over these years. You have had a record-setting year this year, which we'll brag about at year end. But this is actually this gift that I get to share first at the top of the list here actually is its own version of a thank you to you, Mr. Fornatal, because...
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, this is inspired by the good work you've done. You should very much own this. Some listeners may have run across this or recall that back in the springtime, as we were all preparing for the first Derby back on its proper date, the first Saturday in May, there was a release of the Woodford Reserve limited edition bottle for the 2021 year. And I believe that's the 147th running of the Derby, if I have that correct in my brain.
That sounds right.
That bottle release, which was issued by a great group in Louisville, the Louisville Stoneware Company, in collaboration with Woodford Reserve, they do this special bottle each year. And they decided, out of the goodness of their heart, to make the charity beneficiary for 2021 be the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, which was a tremendous gift, a tremendously wonderful thing. And then they asked us for some guidance on who we thought would be the right people to sign that bottle. Well, it so happens that 10 years ago, a wonderful horse named Animal Kingdom won that fine race in Louisville at Churchill Downs. And we are very dear friends with the connections that made his success happen. That's at Graham Motion and Johnny Velasquez. And sure enough, they agreed to sign the bottle in celebration of 10 years since Animal Kingdom's win. Okay, so that all might sound sort of familiar. Well, as time has passed and those bottles were sold and raised a lot of money and turned into a great big gift to our horses, the folks at Louisville Stoneware gave Graham and Anita Motion a couple cases of the remaining bottles for them to share with friends, to raise money, do whatever they wanted to do with them. And they have done that. Those bottles have been sold and, you know, not sold, but officially given out as gifts in thanks for donations. And they have heard how much work you've done, Pete, and how much the network has done to raise money for our horses. And so they have bestowed to you several cases, I think it's 3 cases, of the Woodford Reserve 147th commemorative edition bottle to you so that you may offer those as gifts to your fabulous listeners who may want such a bottle for their holiday gift giving. And that is the long, long spiel about the Woodford Reserve bottles that are available to our whole fabulous network of friends who might want to purchase one for themselves. And then of course, one for under a tree. And all they need to do is to give a gift to the horses and you will say thank you with a bottle of bourbon. How's that?
I love it. That is very much appreciated. Big fans of Graham and Anita around here and all the work they've done for the TRF. And this is fantastic news because people who already have the rye and are looking for a little something different, either for their own collection or to give as a gift, can avail themselves of this opportunity. We'll do it. Let's say the donation should be 120. So 100 and then the 20 to cover the arrangements of getting the bottle to the people. If you make a gift of 120 through TRFinc.org/players, we will find a way to get this bottle to you. And I love it because, you know, we were thinking about doing another In the Money whiskey next year, but obviously that's going to be several months away. So this is a way we can get that that itch scratched much faster. And of course, support a great cause while you do it. If you want a bottle of the rye, we'll differentiate at the price points. We'll call that one $200. So $120 for the Woodford Reserve. If you donate that, you will get a bottle, and then $200 for the In the Money rye. And the link is the same for both. TRFinc.org/players. We have some other cool gift ideas, and another one that I'm really excited about, Kim, because it ties in my very first job in horse racing, working for the Saratoga Special.
Yes, well, you know, we love those guys. We love those guys because they gave you that first opportunity in the business and because they are just such lovers of the game and the sport and the animals. So this is just a tip of the hat to our friends at This Is Horse Racing and Saratoga Special, specifically Joe Clancy, who cooked up this idea with my dear friend and colleague, Jessica Paquette. And so today, as Joe and the team launched their sales of the 2022 horse racing calendar, which are, like, I think, hanging in all of our homes and offices, it's a fabulous calendar of awesome photographs capturing this year in review. Joe has pushed that out there, and he is making a donation to the TRF of $5 for every calendar sold, especially today. It is Giving Tuesday, and so he is supporting our Giving Tuesday campaign. But what you can do as a degenerate gambler gift buyer is you can buy yourself and all of your racing friends a calendar. We all need one, and do that through the This Is Horse Racing Saratoga Special. And we'll put that link on the players page too, so it's easy to find. So you can buy a calendar right, and give a gift all at once, and you're taking care of gift giving too. So how's that?
That's fantastic. If you go to thisishorseracing.com, there is a link right at the top for store, and the calendar is the first item. But yes, you can also find it under trfinc.org/players. It's a wonderful calendar. Michelle, you will be by in a bit to talk about another calendar option that you might have to be in person at Santa Anita to get that one. This one you can get from anywhere. And I just love the idea that $5 from each purchase is going to the TRF. Part of my becoming a racing fan was dealing with both Joe and Sean and the respect that they have for these horses, not just during their careers, but when their racing days are done. And very early on in my racing fandom, they taught me the importance of that. And that's one of the reasons, Kim, why I think your mission and the TRF's mission in terms of taking care of retired racehorses has been resonating with me so much over these last couple decades, and why it's so gratifying to be able to help. And there are other ways folks can help too, in a more direct way. Maybe we'll go there next.
Okay. Well, I love it. I love that, you know, all the good folks, we all continually inspire each other. I think it's like a great big circle of inspiration. So to the next thing on the list though is perhaps the most direct way to both give a gift and support a horse. And it is our beloved horse sponsorship program. And this is actually something that Bobby and I did for years before we made our big move into the life we have now here in Saratoga. We sponsored a horse, and it was given to me as a gift, actually, by my parents. They had, let's face it, they had actually given me a pony or two in my childhood. I was very spoiled and very lucky. Those were the kind you had to feed and clean their stalls and groom all the time. But as I grew a little bit older and farther away from the barn, logistically, they gave me the gift of a TRF horse. And by sponsoring him, they then gave me my own sort of special connection to this specific horse in the herd. His name was Atlas Shrugged, and he lived at the TRF Second Chances program in Richmond, Virginia, which was very close to where I lived at the time. And I was able to actually go visit him once a month. I took my dad to meet Atlas. I took Bobby to meet Atlas. I took my mom to meet Atlas. Those are not always things we can do for our sponsors, but it certainly made an impression on me. And so what sponsors will do is they really do get to choose a horse from our herd, and they can do that on any number of criteria, from I like grays to I want one that ran at Saratoga, whatever your cup of tea may be. We have 500 to choose from. And what you'll then do is you choose your level of sponsorship, and it's, you know, there's sort of a gradation. I think it starts at like $150 perhaps, and it goes up to $2,500. That is to sponsor the horse for the whole year and really all of his costs, which is a wonderful thing. and several of your wonderful listeners, Pete, do that. I'm grateful to them. They know who they are. So horse sponsorship is basically the way that you give a gift. You give it to the horses, but you can also give it to your friend or family member, and they will then get updates from our team with photographs and emails throughout the year to sort of see what the horse is up to. And when occasions avail themselves, we will do our darndest to give you the chance to meet them in person. That's been hard over the last year and a half, but we expect it will become a little easier over the days ahead. So horse sponsorship is right at the top of our website. It's on the navigation bar there. So you'll see that and you can learn more about which horses are available. Hope that was helpful.
Great stuff. Yeah, super duper. I mean, something you can do for yourself as a way to donate, but I also love that idea of giving it as a gift to a racing fan in your life, or asking for that as well. Can folks donate through our link or make inquiries that way, or it's better for them to just go to trfinc.org and specifically search for the horse sponsorship link?
Yeah, it's easier to go through the sponsorship because then you can actually look at the horses and find them. But certainly when and if you choose to do this, then make sure you put a comment that you learned about this through the In the Money podcast, because we do credit all thanks back to such the media, the media network.
Well, we appreciate it. Not needed, but we definitely appreciate it. It's all about the end goal here. We're going to have Kurt dropping by in a bit from Old Smoke.
Good.
But I do want to give you, Kim, a chance to talk about the collaboration you've got with Old Smoke.
Well, we love those guys. We love Eric and Kurt, and we love their gear. But we are proud to be a partner with Old Smoke, and they've got a tremendous group of organizations that they support. But yes, it's always nice to get a new hoodie under the tree or at the gift giving time. There's some great T-shirts. Some of my favorites. Old Smoke does their own spin on things. So, my favorite is the volunteer inspired hoodie, which is the Serve the Herd, #ServeTheHerd. That is my mantra every day, is I serve the herd. They also have a really great one, which is just our logo, and it says Saving Horses, Changing Lives. And those are just cool. You walk around, they're conversation starters, just like all the great Old Smoke gear. It kind of makes people lean in and ask, what is that? And we love it. We love it when folks open those boxes, whatever the holiday, whatever the occasion, Old Smoke gear is great gear. and we're thrilled that we are a part of that, so that when those purchases are made, we get a portion of those proceeds and don't handle any of the logistics. So we love that about Old Smoke.
That's really nice. Yeah. And of course, we have our collab too, the I Won and So Did They, that comes with a $75 donation baked in that we encourage people. If you had a nice hit off something that you heard on the network, or hey, if you're just feeling generous, it's kind of a cool, or you had a nice hit that you came up with on your own, it's a cool club to be in. I always am super pleased when I see those I Won and So Did They shirts. Yes. Out in the wild, and you can use our promo code MONEY to get free shipping. Couple more things quickly. I do want to go back to the whiskey for 1 minute.
Yeah.
Kim, just to point out to people two important things about that. It's obviously while supplies last.
Yes.
We'll keep updates as we get down to the nub up on the page. But I want to say that. It's not like we have an unlimited number of these things. You're going to want to act fast, and you're doubly going to want to act fast if you want this by the holidays. We can't really make any specific promises, but I would say if you get your order in by December 10th, I'd be pretty close to shocked if you weren't able to have that under the tree, as it were. But I wanted to make those two notes. And then I know we're not going to go too into it, because we're going to have you back next week under the no good deed goes unpunished theory, Kim, to talk more extensively about a listener who's doing a really special, interesting project that I wanted you to tell the people about, or at least tease.
Yeah, today I will tease, because so many of your listeners, I want to say a thank you first, that they participated in the online auction that we just closed out this weekend. And a couple of you, very beloved In the Money listeners, made some very important purchases on that auction. So I'm looking forward to all the fun that will be had in Saratoga through some of the experiences that were purchased through the online auction, and as well as some of the cool gear that's being sent out to addresses that I know and that you know too, Pete. So feel free to brag about that. If you are a donor who bought something in the auction, tell your friends, because that's a great way to give. And the tease here is that we are going to have an amazing auction to talk about that has really something extremely cool, extremely special, that one of the In the Money listeners is putting on auction on a sports memorabilia site called Leland's. And he has made a promise that that the horses of the TRF will benefit significantly from the proceeds of that. So it's a fun thing. We're going to dive into it a little deeper. But if you are interested in horse racing memorabilia, check out the Leland's auction site. That auction does not close till the 11th. That's why we have a little more time. But just that's another thing for the horse racing fan in your life to take a look at.
I love it. And we'll put a special pretty link up so you can find the exact place you need to go. We'll do that next week.
Yeah.
We're not going to get too into it now, but we will just say this is a one-of-a-kind collection really representing years of work from a devoted racing fan. And you can be the beneficiary and the TRF. More importantly, could be the beneficiary of somebody else's hard work and generosity. This is the kind of thing we love to support. More on that. But if you want to get a preview, do head over to the Leland's website and you could do that. Was there one more thing, Kim, or we got it all?
There was one more thing, and I'm just going to always have the one more thing. But that's because one more cause that I think all care about, and there are many to be thought of today. It is Giving Tuesday. Let me just make a plug that whatever charity you care about, whatever it does in the whole wide world, give them a gift today. Of any size, because it's a day where every charity tries to really do something special. So that in mind, one of my big personal outlets for volunteering is the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy. And I love that group. I love their community they serve. And I love this one last gift idea is you can sponsor a family on the backstretch at Belmont. And that is still available. There are a lot of families, you know, like say hundreds of families that live within the backstretch community at Belmont. And so sponsoring a family, I mean, there's another way to give a gift. You could do that in honor of someone. You could do that for your own family to be in the spirit of the holidays. And you just go to the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy website and you can click that link. They'll assign you a family. They'll give you the ages, the sizes. And the deadline is coming up, but there is still time to do that. As we speak this week, you could still get in on that if that's something you'd like to do in your gift-giving spirit. That's the last thing I wanted to throw on our list.
Love it. No, I'm so glad you did. You know, we've worked with the chaplaincy on a couple of different initiatives, and the great people who just care so much. RTCANY.org is where you can find them, if I have my URL correct. Does that sound right?
It does
to
sound
you,
right. Yep, it does. Yep, okay. Yep.
So check that out. And of course, you know, to make your donations to be eligible for the gift of this whiskey and just to support all the work that Kim does. We haven't talked even about the Second Chances program today, but there's certainly been a lot of chatter on the network this year about the Second Chances program helping humans as well as horses. The link to give, and we encourage you to, and we'll talk about it more in the coming weeks as well. TRFinc.org/players. Kim Weir, thanks so much for your time today.
Happy holidays. Thanks, Pete.
Earlier in the show, I promised a whiskey segment, and a whiskey segment you shall receive. Very happy to bring in two people who I've become friendly with over the course of the last several months. They've got a new liquor store in Saratoga, and it's must-check-out stuff. They just opened up online ordering for New York State last week. That's going to be hopefully expanding in the future. From First Fill Spirits, we have Charles Grabitsky and Holly Seidewand. How are you guys today?
We're good. How are you, Peter?
Doing great, Peter.
Life is good. It's good to be talking to you. Eager to come up. I can't go in your store without spending too much money because it's what really strikes me about what you guys do. And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on to talk to the listeners today is you seem particularly expert at curating. This is not you will walk into another store in Saratoga and there will be more selection, but I swear I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say it won't be nearly as interesting as what you guys bring to the table. Charles, we'll start with you. Tell me a little bit about the thought process in opening First Fill and what it brings to the marketplace up there.
Well, Peter, you kind of hit the nail on the head with the concept of the store. We want to make it absolutely dangerous to come walking into our store, because if we didn't, I mean, what's the point, right? So our store is all about putting on our shelves whiskey that we would like to have at home. So that's kind of our motto here in the store is, you know, you're coming into our house in a way. We're selecting a variety of different whiskeys from all over the world, Japanese, Irish, Scotch, bunch of independent bottlings from Scotland, all sorts of American whiskey, bourbon, rye, single malt, and then New World. That's really kind of the fun new area that both Holly and I have really kind of getting excited about.
Holly, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your background. We haven't talked too much about this, but in the case of both of you, I'm just super impressed by the depth and breadth of whiskey knowledge that you have. How did you come up in the business to this point?
Yes, yeah, and Charles and I have been whiskey friends for quite some time, so the whiskey community definitely brings people together, and then you kind of stick together forever. I took an interest in whiskey. I started with scotch, used to drink it neat, and started a whiskey blog, traveled around the world documenting distilleries, even got to work at a few all over Japan, Tasmania, the States, Scotland, Ireland. And after about 120 distilleries, I decided, yep, I actually really like this stuff. I'd love to work in it. And then worked in some different roles. I was a whiskey specialist for a small retail chain in Massachusetts, relaunched the single malt scotch portfolio under Dewars. Charles and I just said, let's talk about all the whiskey that we collect and want to drink. The best way to do that and to share it, which is our favorite part, share it with people, is through the shop. So yeah, that's a quick snapshot of myself.
It sounds a bit like horse players to me, creating these bonds over a shared passion that that can really last. Charles, where did it begin for you? How did whiskey turn from avocation to vocation?
I've always been into travel my whole life. I've traveled and lived in different countries, and I wanted to figure out a way to transition my career back into some form of travel. And at the time, I was really passionate about learning about whiskey and scotch in particular. And so I started taking people on whiskey tours and eventually created a company called Rascal and Thorn, which takes people on whiskey tours around the world. We do Scotland, Ireland, Japan, and Kentucky, and a lot more places to come. But, you know, it's been a journey similar to Holly. You know, I wrote a blog as well and visited over 100 distilleries. I mean, you just kind of, you learn so much when you go to these places, and it's so much fun explaining how these flavors come out of these distilleries, especially once you've seen how they make it. So here we are. We get to do that now firsthand, and it's really wonderful.
You mentioned Rascal and Thorn. I'm glad you did, because I would imagine that as part of our gift-giving guide, we might have some people who are interested in learning more about that. How often do you do the Kentucky trips, and what's the best place to learn more?
So Kentucky is, we just did a couple to kind of get back into travel after COVID. But typically it's one or two Kentucky trips a year, and try and do one or two Scotland trips and Ireland and Japan. So that's, you know, every year, try and mix it up a little bit. It's hard to say going forward with the way things are still in the world, what the schedule will be like. But if you go to our website, which is www.rascalandthorn, thorn without an E, thorn.com, you'll see a list of what we have coming up.
It sounds really cool. And of course, my brain can't help but start to want to brainstorm about some sort of collaborative trip, envisioning going to race courses in Scotland like Perth and Musselburgh. And I have to say, obviously, in Kentucky, it's very, very useful to have a tour and a structure and an opportunity to know what's up and get into some of the most exciting places there are. But in Scotland, I feel like you almost need a tour to really take full advantage of the whiskey tourism. We'll see if the world continues to be heading in the right direction, if we can cook up something really fun for the next couple of years, because your passion comes through, and I think it would be just a great way to learn more. Let's get down into the brass tacks, folks, for this year and the holiday season. And Holly, I'm going to start out. We often talk more specifically about the American whiskey on the show because of the racing and whiskey link, but I want to know what scotch we should be looking to find under the tree. We have a little tradition in the family here where my daughter Perrin, going by the nose, of course, and the shape of the bottle, helps pick out which whiskey Santa Claus will be consuming, and Santa, a big scotch aficionado, of course. So what should we pick for him this year?
Wow, lucky Santa. I only ever gave him carrots and cookies. Yes. Yeah, so Scotch is definitely my first true love. And we have a lot of different styles of Scotch whiskey here. And let me start by saying they're not all smoky. So if someone's a little bit intimidated by Scotch whiskey, they're not all heavily peated and campfire smoke like Laphroaig or Lagavulin. But if you like that, that's great as well. But we do have one of our go-tos and all-time favorites that people should be able to find, if not ask their local liquor store if they're not here in New York State, is Glenfarclas 12. And one of the reasons that it's been a staple in Charles and my collection is it's extremely fun to look at just because it's a family-owned distillery, which is very rare in Scotland these days. And they have not updated their packaging from what it looks like around the 1980s, which I love. So it's very retro packaging. And it's really for that Speyside Macallan style drinker. So if you like that sherry cask whiskey, lots of fruits, baking spice, it's a very underrated, very fantastic sipping whiskey. And if you do like that peated, smoky style, like I mentioned before, we also love the new Laphroaig Cargis, which is finished in Pedro Jimenez casks. So you get that nice campfire smoke with that sweet, syrupy style of sherry as well. So that should be a dash of Scotch for everyone right there.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I love getting the shout out for Glenfarclas because they do spend some of their marketing budget on horse racing, not over here, but big sponsors of National Hunt Racing over in the UK. And it is great stuff, one that's been a favorite of mine for a very long time. Charles, anything to add on the Scotch front or should we pivot to maybe another place in the world?
Well, we could actually tag on to Scotland by introducing maybe an American single malt made, you know, in a similar manner as they do in Scotland with 100% malted barley. But Westland Distillery out of Seattle has an American single malt that is a kind of a new core release of theirs. It's a combination of their three previous releases, and it's really, really fantastic. So that's definitely one if you want to kind of have an in-between Scotland and America whiskey, that a Westland American single malt's probably one that I would suggest.
And we do have a lot of listeners who are going to be sympathetic in that direction. The first of the In the Money whiskeys we did was an American malt from our friends at Albany Distilling Company. So, and I would say that the Westland is more traditional and more like a Scotch that you'd be familiar with than that more bespoke malt that we did that really, for me, drank like a cross between an Irish whiskey and a bourbon. The Westland, if I'm taste memorying it correctly, Charles, really, really tastes a bit more like a Scotch, but with the American accent.
Definitely. Yeah, it has the American oak, but then you do have the sherry influence, and then you do have a whiff of peat from the little bit of peat that's included in that bottle as well. So you get a little bit of everything with the Westland, which is really nice.
Now, when it comes to first fill, one of the things I know you guys are really gearing up to do is a lot of partnerships with distilleries in the sense of buying single barrels and having releases that you can only get at first fill. As far as something in that direction, Holly, what comes to mind for the folks? Now, this one may be torturous for the listener in Kansas who won't have access to it until he or she comes to visit Saratoga next summer, but what leaps to mind that you can only get at first fill?
Yes, we can hold bottles at the shop for as long as you need.
That's good to know. Yeah,
especially for our single cask program, which is gearing up and roaring here pretty quickly. The two I'll talk about first are actually bourbons. So they're going to be made out of that predominant corn mash bill, although one of them does have a higher rye content than more of a classic bourbon mash bill. But for all of those bourbon fans, the first one is actually from Stellum, which is definitely full of fruit and has this real sort of spice on the finish. And then Tumble and Dice is our second one, which is that higher rye. So you get a lot of this nice sweet cinnamon, still a lot of honey notes, but it has a little kick on the palate, some of that extra spice on the finish. And these are single barrels of bourbon that we buy outright. So we partner with Stellum, Tumble and Dice, You can do this with a few distilleries, but we work with a lot of these smaller brands to get these really special casks. And we try through sometimes dozens of samples. And it's a tough gig, and we pick our favorite. Yeah, Charles and I arm wrestle over who's gonna go down and do it if we have to share the task. But we will pick our favorite cask. They'll bottle it for us, and with a bourbon barrel, you get anywhere depending on how old it is, maybe 100 bottles up to 200 bottles. And as we know, every cask tastes different. Even if it's produced on the same day, filled into, you know, obviously new charred American oak, they're sitting next to each other for 5, 6, 7 years. And when you go to taste them, they taste completely different. It's the magic of maturation. And so we're very proud of the single cast that we choose. So they only exist here in the shop. No one else, of course, would have access to these casks. And Stellum, we actually have the physical cask that the whiskey was matured in here in the shop, which is kind of fun to touch and see and know exactly where it came from. So those are two that we're really excited about, two of our bourbons in the shop right now.
Oh, that's great. That's great stuff. Charles, let's bring you back in. Take this in any direction you want. I'm going to bother you at some point for an American whiskey recommendation that is widely available. But if you have something unique that you want to put forth first, you can do that too.
We do have one other single barrel that I will mention. I know, again, we're not talking to the Kansas person right now, but we did pick, actually, with a local whiskey club, we did pick back in February, a cask from Australia, from Starward. It's a single malt from Australia that's aged in Barossa Valley Shiraz casks, which is a red wine cask. Really, really a wonderful whiskey, especially for, you know, people who are wine drinkers, who are thinking about getting into whiskey, but it's very approachable for everybody. So that's one that, you know, again, only available here in the shop. But to go to your question about American whiskey that might be more readily available, I did go down to Bardstown Bourbon Company just this last month a couple of times. You know, they're really hitting it on the head right now with what they're putting out there. And the Bardstown Fusion release that is pretty readily available across the United States right now is definitely a one to get. It's a mix of a marriage of different aged bourbons. They put their finishing touch on that as well, and it's just fantastic. So that's one you should definitely look for, Bardstown Bourbon Company.
I've been very impressed with their program since the beginning, and now, if I'm not mistaken, they've got some of their own 4-year maybe that's making its way into some of those blends. That's also a tour that I've heard great things about. I haven't been able to do it myself yet, but absolutely, Bardstown very much on my radar. Another one, I'll just chime in my own 2 cents because I've been really pleased with some of the single barrel selections and the general releases as well from New Riff up in Northern Kentucky as another distillery to keep the eye on as well. Holly, let's bring you back in. Any further American whiskey selections or other recommendations you might have for the listeners for this holiday season drinking?
Yeah, we're huge fans of New Riff as well. We love their ryes, their bourbons. They really have not done anything wrong at that distillery, that's for sure. And another one that Charles and I have been to as well, they're not really producing a ton of their own whiskey, but as we know, that's blending is just as difficult as production, if not more difficult at times. So we love non-producers in the American whiskey world as well. But we're big fans of Nulu. They have bourbons, ryes. We're actually about to bottle a single barrel of rye just for the shop, but they do a lot of toasted oak finishes, add a dash of sweetness. They do a lot of these single barrel special edition releases. So if you're looking for a really special gift, Nulu is another fun one. And that's, of course, named after Nulu right in Louisville.
They're right in. You can visit right in Louisville, right?
Yes. Yep. It's actually called Prohibition Craft Spirits. So they do produce some of their own alcohol. There's a bar right next door. So lots of good restaurants, of course, coming up and out of that area. We really enjoyed our time down there. And again, all of their single barrels have been stellar, have been fantastic. So,
well, As we always say around here, no good deed goes unpunished. You guys will be back for when we do our Kentucky Derby party show in April to give a few more recommendations for American whiskey. But before we let you go, and Charles, I'll make you do this. Folks who are in New York State who want to order online, what's the URL? Where can they find you?
Yeah, so the best way to get a hold of anything that we have is to come to www.firstfillspirits.com. That's the best way. You could also call us. There's a phone number on the website to order over the phone if you need to as well. And again, you know, we'll hold on to any bottles if we can't ship to you at this point.
And for folks who are in town or to mark their calendar for when they come back to Saratoga, whether it's off season or when racing kicks up again, let folks know where you are.
So we're located right in downtown Saratoga Springs. Our address is 68 Washington Street. We do have a parking lot as well, so we make it really easy for you to come and visit us.
I highly recommend folks check it out. Check out the website as well. Lots of special things you can't get anywhere else. I'm a huge fan and looking forward to hopefully coming up with some fun ways to collaborate in the future.
Sounds great. We're looking forward to it as well.
All right, Charles and Holly, thank you so much for your time today. We will see you very soon.
Thank you, Peter.
It's time to talk about Santa Anita's Ship and Win program, and it's going on right now. The Santa Anita Ship and Win program offers $5,000 cash bonuses for owners that ship to Santa Anita from outside California. Plus, Santa Anita will offer a 35% purse bonus to your horse's earnings in its initial race at the Great Race Place. Terms and conditions do apply, so give a call to Chris Mertz, the racing secretary at Santa Anita, at 626-574-6472. That's 626-574-6472. And make sure you mention the Ship and Win bonus. Next up on the show, very happy to bring back a guest. We just had on previewing the Santa Anita meet, but I really wanted to get her thoughts on this topic because she just strikes me in our interactions as the kind of person who's good at the game of figuring out what gifts to give to people who are either amongst the degenerate set, such as myself. And I think she's got a few horse lovers in her life, too. She's Michelle Yu from the Owner's Box. How are things?
Hey-o, I'm good.
Hey-o, usually I thought that required like a double entendre to get the hey-o, but that's you're just going with that as a standard greeting now.
Yeah, I just want to say hi that way.
I like it. I think you should affect that all the time.
I'm going to from now on. I've already got my like signature, bye, when I leave. Now I'm going to do like a hey-o every time you call me.
Fantastic. I love it. We're covering all kinds of great ground on the DG gift giving guide this year. So am I correct? Was my hunch that you are good at this game of gift giving correct?
You know, I try and give really thoughtful gifts. Like, there are instances that I'm a good gift giver, but really I'm just an excellent like shopper. So like, I love it when people give me a list because I can complete the list very well.
I think your list 1 through 10 is Veuve Clicquot champagne. Actually 5 are Veuve Clicquot champagne. And the other are Veuve Clicquot rosé.
Possibly. The rosé is not my favorite. I mean, we had to have it the other day just because that's what was there. And it's not easy to get Veuve at Del Mar, but I prefer the regular old Veuve every day of the week.
So anybody who wants to send Michelle a gift, you can send that, you know, care of Santa Anita.
On my Christmas list this year, besides the Veuve, I did have, I want these golden snitch Harry Potter glasses.
What is this? Oh, is that from the game that they play, the Quidditch?
Yes, it is. Exactly.
Now, my knock on that game, I've actually thought about this it was clearly, no offense to J.K. Rowling or whatever, but it seems like a game that was clearly conceived by somebody who's not a sports fan, because it's like you can go through all this mishigas, and then if you get the whatever it is, the squirfle or the kerfuffle or that is the snitch, and then you just win the game anyway. It's like, I don't know.
Well, no, not necessarily. So no, that's not true. So the snitch is worth 150 points if you get it. But if you have scored several times with the quaffles, as you called them, then you might have more points, but the game is over once the snitch is caught. So like if the other team has 200 points and you haven't scored and you catch the snitch, the game is over, but you've lost.
So the last time you were on,
it happened in one of the episodes or one of the movies that Carrie caught the snitch, but they lost because they were behind.
Okay, so it shows you what I know. And now we've learned in past episodes about your polo playing background. Now, apparently you also like did a minor in Quidditch somewhere.
Yes, I minored in Harry Potter pretty much. You know, they did actually play Quidditch in the park over in like Santa Monica on broomsticks, and they obviously ran instead of flying. But
so disappointing. If they'd flown, I would have shown up for that.
There's a lot of TikToks now that people are pretending to fly. They hang like a green screen blanket on a broomstick, and then they get on the broomstick and it looks like they're flying, and it's kind of cool.
Now, we know a lot about horse racing Twitter. We talk about that on the show. Is there eventually going to be a horse racing TikTok? And can you sort of spearhead this and make it a thing?
There is horse racing TikTok. There's actually a lot of stud farms are starting to do it now. Like, they have branched out into Instagram, so you see them with their Insta stories. But I have seen a decent size social media or a TikTok presence from some farms. Spendthrift, most notably, has been doing a ton of stuff. My racehorse always is showing like little videos of horses in their stall, et cetera, et cetera. I always try and do stuff with us like breaking babies. So there are footprints right now, the pitter patter of little horse feet onto TikTok. And I think that the good thing is you get a lot of questions, and the bad thing is you get a lot of questions and it's a little hard to keep up with. Also, we've like trained these people now to hold your phone hot dog style, and that's not how the TikTok platform works. You have to hold your phone like up and down. And yep. So like then it ends up being a complete nightmare when you're trying to figure out like, if I shoot for this way, I have to hold it this way. And anyways.
So who knew that the first two tangents we were going to go on this fall were about Quidditch and TikTok, but you gave me the good segue. You mentioned my racehorse and an off air, you had mentioned to me a DG gift giving idea that involved our friends over there. Tell us about that.
I mean, the first thing that came to my mind when you said what would be a great gift for a degenerate, well, how about a racehorse? I mean, it would be great if you had the money just to go buy a racehorse or claim one. I mean, the Los Alamitos meet is coming up here. There should be some $8,000 claimers on tap. So if you have that kind of budget, great. If you don't, then my racehorse has a beautiful introductory price of about $90 for a share. It's obviously not a large portion of the horse, but that's kind of a nice intro into returning the game in a different way. You know, if you're a big time gambler or degenerate, as you like to say, and you like to spend money on the horses in that way, why not own a share of a horse? And then you have a little bit more skin in the game. And who knows how that might snowball into further and further horse ownership. I mean, our whole podcast for Billy and myself is really about that. We've had so many people that started out as partners, either in something like My Racehorse or Little Red Feather or Adelphi. I mean, there's so many stepping stones to get to big horse ownership, but it's a great gift. You can give it to your kid. I mean, for $90 and they own a horse, you can get a picture of the horse, put it on your wall. You can follow it. I think it's cool.
And look at you getting the name of our new sponsor in there. You're going to earn this bottle of Veuve Clicquot, I'm going to say. Let's talk about some other directions for gifts. We've talked about Old Smoke several times already in the show, and Kurt hasn't even gotten here yet, but you did mention that on your short list. Where does your taste lie in the Old Smoke stuff?
Well, so I have an Old Smoke show that says Win Place, or shirt that says Win Place Show. So that's the one that I have, and it's super soft. I like it because obviously it's not like blatant in your face horse racing. Like, you have to be a racing fan to kind of like get it. So yeah. I like that, right? I like it that it like makes you think. And then if you see someone with it, you're like, oh, they're a racing fan. So I just think that's super cool. I remember at one time they had a Wise Dan shirt and I desperately wanted it, but I never got it. I don't know if he's got one sitting in the storehouse somewhere.
You got to be careful because Old Smoke, I mean, part of their thing is they like the exclusivity of it. It's yes. There for when it's there and then it's gone. So there's definitely a if you snooze, you lose mentality going
yes.
on there.
We can ask Kurt. Hard way.
Yeah, we'll ask Kurt just in case, you know, he's got one somewhere. But okay. You might be out of luck on that, my friend.
Oh, I'd be so sad. So that would be like my Christmas wish list. I would love that. But really, you can't go wrong with a lot of the shirts. They're super soft. They look cool. They look vintage. Their price point is really good to get for somebody. And they've got a little bit of everything, right? They've got t-shirts. They've got tank tops, which I think are disgusting because I don't like tank tops. I don't know why you'd want to show your arms. They've got hoodies. They've got hats. They've got kid stuff. So they've just got a ton of cool things. And if you're, you know, if you like JK and his style, which I'm not sure why you would.
I don't know. You look pretty good.
My Old Smoke collection.
You dressed that shirt up pretty well when we did that event back in Kentucky.
I really wanted the Breeders' Cup one, but I wanted the one with the, like, so they had two Breeders' Cup ones, right? They had the Breeders' Cup logo and they had the Breeders' Cup, like, trophy. But the Breeders' Cup trophy, which is the one I wanted, was like a white shirt. And like the Breeders' Cup logo was purple. And I can't do a white shirt. It doesn't look good on air. It doesn't look good on me. It doesn't fit in my lifestyle. So I like had to pass, but I was so depressed. And I called JK when it came out. I'm like, how did you approve that? Because like, you can't wear white on TV. We needed to go with a better color there. But that's that so was a pretty cool thing. And they've got some stuff right now going on. I know if you buy a JK collection, you get a black t-shirt with like the pocket with the saddle towel-y thing, which I think is super cool. And they should just be selling that, in my opinion.
Well, we'll wait. The Michelle Yu collection can't be too far behind, can it?
It would be tasteless.
I want to talk about something we talked about the last time we were on air, because I really do think it makes sense for gift giving. Obviously not if you need to have it under the tree, but if you're seeing somebody, you know, for a secondary holiday celebration in the week after Christmas, a couple of great things happening on Santa Anita opening day on Boxing Day, the 26th, that I want you to tell the people about.
Yeah, 100%. It's the annual calendar giveaway at Santa Anita. With your paid admission, you get a free wall calendar. It's full size. It's beautiful. It's got good racing dates on it. It's got tons of pictures, and you have to be on track to get it. So that's kind of a cool gift if you've got, I know, a racing fan in your family. I know my father-in-law every year is like, did you get me my calendar? I make my mother-in-law and my mother calendars with like pictures of the grandkids. And my father-in-law's like, where's my horse calendar? So it's very cool to see that. So that's a great gift. And again, we've talked about the plushies on opening day. They're going to be giving away these huge plushies and I'm not giving away, doing a $20 donation towards, which goes towards Karma for the retired racehorse. The retired racehorse in California. And then you get this huge, awesome, soft plushie that will last you many seasons. Mine is going on year 6 and it still has nice fur.
That's pretty impressive. And it is important to note that this is 100% of that donation is going to aftercare. Yes. And they're looking to raise $25,000. And given the attendance that we typically see on opening day, I think they can maybe get there.
I hope so.
That's the plan anyway. You had another great idea and you were beginning to tell a story. I shut you down because I wanted you to tell it on air, but another gift giving idea that relates to aftercare.
Yeah. So when my grandma was still alive, she was an avid racing fan and just loved horses in general. And of course, you don't ever know what to get parents or old people in your life, right? At least I'm really bad at it. And so I started every year sponsoring a horse in her name. Specifically, she loved a horse named Commentator, and he was at Old Friends or is at Old Friends. And so I sponsored him for several years in her name. And so she would get like a little wall plaque and a little picture of him. And it was like, thanks, Beverly, for sponsoring Commentator. So you could do that with rescues. I've worked with Old Friends on several occasions doing this, so I know how they work, but I'm sure most rescues are very similar. You can either sponsor the horse, you could sponsor a paddock, you can do a one-time sponsor. There's so many different options. Like I sponsored all last year, every month, a horse that we had in training at one point and was now retired. And I sponsored him for a whole year, every single month, making sure he got whatever he needed. You could sponsor like a bale of hay or carrots for everybody, and they'll take pictures of them feeding carrots for you. So there's a lot of options on what you can do and from pretty much every price point. And then you get someone that gets to be happy because, hey, they get a picture of a horse and it's made out to them and all kinds of good jazz. But also you're doing a good thing by our racehorses who, if you're listening to the show, at some point in your life, you've been touched by a racehorse.
No doubt about it. And we talked about there's different ways of doing this sponsorship. Our friends at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, that's one. But Old Friends, who you mentioned, an affiliated charity really with the TRF, Michael Blowen, who's so fantastic. We've had the pleasure of working with on a number of occasions, connected with the TRF. That sounds like another really fun way of doing it. And glad to get Commentator a word. I remember that race. Was it Saratoga? He had a 120.
Whitney, right?
Yeah, 120 buyer speed figure at some point. He was a serious horse. And if I'm remembering right, a New York bred, does that sound possible?
I think so. I think he was, yeah.
Yeah, so always good to give a little bit of a name check to Commentator. Last topic I want to pick your brain about on this appearance, Michelle, has to do with this upcoming Santa Anita meet. I'm not sure if we're going to get to do an entire Santa Anita lifestyle show. Maybe we will. But in any case, I know one of the things that I like to do, this is admittedly a little bit more of a holiday gift for myself, but I suppose you could arrange it with the a racing friend as well. Making a trip out to Santa Anita or Gulfstream, especially here on the East Coast when, you know, the weather, those next few months, the holidays kind of buoy you. But then you get into that time of year where I love the idea of trying to set aside some time to travel to these warm weather places and see the best that racing has to offer at that time of year. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on, because we really haven't talked about this off air either, the places that you like most to hang out around Santa Anita when it comes to eating and drinking, so I can mark my calendar for a future trip.
So every Friday, actually, Zoe Cadman and I do Happy Hour Fridays, and we leave the track and we hit up a new dive bar. And it has to be between the racetrack and our house for safety reasons. And we both live in Monrovia, so we're like 3 miles away. So we have definitely run the gamut of establishments surrounding the racetrack. And there are some good ones. You know, honestly, the fancy places are fine, but the great thing about Santa Anita is where it's at, nestled like right there, like between Sierra Madre and Monrovia. There are so many great mom and pop places, and really the caliber of food and dining around there is very good considering you're just kind of in the middle of nowhere. I like on mornings before the racetrack to go squeeze into my favorite dim sum place, which is called Full House, like the TV show. Okay. And it's just down Baldwin, a little bit south of Santa Anita. But you can order to go or you can sit in, and Pete and I love it. And you'll, if you watch our simulcast, if anyone has a day where you hit over a $500 ticket, you have to buy dim sum for the next day. So Pete and I call in dim sum often and we bring it in and eat it. So if you like dim sum, or if you haven't had dim sum, it's a great place to try it, which is, it's basically Chinese brunch. It's like a ton of little plates, like tapas style, with different kinds of dumplings and egg rolls and noodles. And the duck is fantastic. And it's like $3.50 a plate. So it's really great. And I highly recommend that. Going to some of the bars around town, the one of our favorite places to go. What are you doing right now, Pete?
Oh, it's your heat. What you're hearing is the heating. I was just talking about the cold in New York, and yeah, the boiler has just turned on, and there's all kinds of clicking. Mute so that you and the listeners don't have to be distracted.
I just didn't know what it was. I thought you were like bored, and you were like throwing your hacky sack against the wall.
Nothing that exciting.
So there's a bar called Route 66 that is one of our favorite bars. It's probably about 4 miles from Santa Anita, so it's a little further away, but it's awesome. It's like, it has pool tables and there's karaoke and there's no windows and like one door. So it's like super divey, but they pour the drink stiff and they're really cheap. So it's great. There's also a bar called First Cabin, and that's probably our favorite place to go. It's just down Huntington. I mean, literally hop, skip and a jump. It's just beyond where 101 used to be. It's like a whole maybe street light down from that. And it is a teeny tiny dive bar. Again, drinks are strong, drinks are cheap, all regulars. On many occasions when you're there, people will buy a round for the whole bar and they ring a bell and everyone gets around, everyone celebrates, and then everyone starts buying rounds. So it's really fun. There's a good cast of racetrack characters in there. So if you want to like rub elbows with some of the racetrack people, that's a good spot to go. For sure.
Name check that one again.
That is the First Cabin.
The First Cabin. I mean, the way you described it first, it's, you know, holiday season. I was thinking about It's a Wonderful Life. You know, they serve hard drinks for people who want to get drunk fast, and they don't need any characters around to give the place atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. That's this place for sure. just north of Santa Anita, up Baldwin, is Sierra Madre. And that's a cute little city. And there's actually like 3 or 4 good restaurants like right there. There's the Nano Cafe. There's the Greek place, which name I can't remember right now, but Todd Pletcher chained a horse by the name of it. And then there's a place called Wisteria. They're all good places to eat, but hidden right down the road is the Buccaneer. We call it the Buck for short. And that's a great place to go get a super cheap brewski. And it's well lit enough that you don't feel like a complete scumbag sitting in there all day. And obviously all these bars show horse racing. Actually, we were up there. We went up to Breeders. We go up there often, but we were up there one time, brought Dale Romans and Tammy, and we stayed for like 6 hours. And Dale's like, "You guys are just sucking me into this hole." It's like, yeah, when you go to the Buck, it ends up like that. But the Buck is a great place to go to. For hotels, even though I don't normally stay places, I actually have stayed at the brand new Le Meridien, which is right across the street from Santa Anita. It's where 101 pretty much used to be. So like right out the back gate, you could walk to Santa Anita. And right. If you're a little bit bougie, you'll like it. I will say I was not thrilled in the bar. They only carry Pepsi products. So that's gross. But the rooms, it's all brand new construction. So the rooms are great. It's got a heated pool. It's, again, walking distance to the racetrack. So if you can get in there, you want to be very close. Highly recommend. 10 of 10. The bedrooms themselves were awesome. So
that's fantastic.
That's a great place to go.
And I wasn't expecting you to have the accommodation information, but that's very good to hear.
Yes, that's a great place to stay. It's nice. And then I would also say, like, if you're looking for something cool and like fast, my uncle owns a restaurant called the Sesame Grill, but it's pretty much the best chicken tenders around. If you like Raising Cane's, you'll love Sesame Grill. And like a 3-piece chicken tender feeds like my whole family, and it's delicious. And the price point is pretty spot on for what you're getting. And that's just right down Huntington. It's actually across the street from the Derby. So if you can't afford to go to the Derby, like me, on your way home, you just get Sesame Grill. Or like my father-in-law doesn't like to cross the street for things. So like if he's leaving the track going to our house, you'd have to turn around to go to the Derby. So he just, you know, stops at Sesame Grill because it's on the way.
That's great.
Spencer loves Sesame Grill. Huh?
I can tell. Those chicken nuggets. I mean, what's wrong with that?
I would say Nikki C's is another good place to go. You get good Italian there. It's west of the racetrack, so towards the ocean for people who don't know north, south, east, west. It's really good food. It's nice atmosphere, and you'll run into a lot of racing people there.
Yeah, we've had good experiences there. I do want to ask you about one that you didn't mention, and I'm scared you're not going to like it, and like the scales will fall off my eyes. But huge Din Tai Fung fan. Where do you stand with it?
So, as a Chinese person whose family owned Chinese restaurants my whole life, and we make dumplings at home. I mean, I was very underwhelmed with the dumplings at Din Tai Fung. The soup dumplings were really tasty, but the broth was a little bland. And I just think for the price and the portions, you're better off going to dim sum. Like, you're just going to get so much more variety at dim sum. I also think if you're not like a huge dumpling eater and you don't know what everything is, there's like 90 kinds of dumplings on the menu and they all sound the same. I mean, even Ryan, who is by no means a connoisseur, like he thought Panda Express was like the best thing since sliced bread because he's from Pocatello, Idaho, until I showed him how to like eat real Chinese food. Like, we went to Din Tai Fung and he was like, nah. I mean, it's good, but like it's gotten a little like bougie now, and they're commercially because there's like a chain, and they're still hand-making the dumplings. Now. It's very cool to watch them hand-make the dumplings, right? But yeah, as far as like, am I going to go wait in line to spend that much money to eat dumplings? No, you are literally in Arcadia, which is a very densely Asian populated place. You can go to the 99 beef noodle store and eat dumplings just as good for like $2.
And the place that you specifically mentioned was called Full House.
Full House,
I would assume.
Yeah, yeah. It's a B establishment, so you can be scared of that, but that's okay. Funny. We don't actually do those anymore out here, like ratings. It's an old rating.
Do they do soup dumplings there?
They do not do soup dumplings. No.
Okay.
Sorry.
But
there is
that's
a place across
be...
the street, though. If you go up half a block and then on your right hand side, if you're going towards Santa Anita from Full House, there's like a little parking lot where JJ's Bakery is, and there's a little place in there that does really good soup dumplings.
You don't happen to remember the name off the top of your head?
Can't remember the name of it.
Does Spencer have the name?
Spencer, do you know the name? No, he says.
We'll find it out. I still can't give up I can't fully give up my allegiance to Din Tai Fung, but I can certainly try to add some other places to the list. So we'll continue to build that roster. If you think of the name at some point, tell me and I'll tweet it out or put it in the show notes here so people can check it out.
I'll have to look at my Yelp.
There you go. There you are. You're a pretty active Yelper?
I'm a Yelp elite.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. Well, that's why we have you on here. That was a fantastic rattle off. definitely looking for my holiday gift to myself, a Santa Anita, a Gulf. I'm already going to Gulfstream for opening weekend. I'll get there again. Vegas for the NHC, and there'll be a Santa Anita trip in there as well. Hopefully we will encounter each other sooner rather than later, Michelle. Loved all your thoughts. Always a pleasure talking to you, and it was fun getting to see you in person the other day. Have a great holiday season, my friend.
Super. Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it.
Last but not least, we've got one more guest, and you've heard his name and you've heard about his company several times already on the show, but he's got something special for the audience out there. And we were very happy to welcome back to the In the Money airwaves from Old Smoke, Kurt Rossner. Kurt, how are things?
Things are great, Pete. How you been?
Life is good. Getting ready for this holiday season. We've had a ton of good ideas so far. And off air, you were just mentioning something very special you want to do for the listeners. And this is today only. So disappointment, apologies for disappointment if you're listening on December 2nd. If you get to this on December 1st, the day it drops, this is something you're going to want to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure all your listeners are aware of, you know, how popular the JK collection has been. And the button-ups are kind of taking over the track, which has been really cool to see. But we're just coming off of Black Friday weekend. And on Monday, we did a special, buy a JK button-up and receive a free pocket tee that has the saddle cloth image on it, which is really cool. And we'd like to extend that to the listeners today. So if you buy a JK button-up, any of the – there's four on there now, the Secretariat, the Saddlecloth, Del Mar, and Saratoga. Buy any one of those, and today we'll send you a free pocket tee with it. And use the code MONEY, and you'll get free shipping on that.
Awesome. Yeah, you'll trigger the promo, and you'll get your you'll get your free shipping if you pop money in there. OldSmokeClothing.com. And then you can look at our t-shirts that we have with Kurt and the crew if you go to InTheMoneyPodcast.com/OldSmoke. And then the JK collection in general, I think it's just oldsmokeclothing.com/JK, right?
Yeah, correct. Yep.
Beautiful. Well, I want to get some updates from you. What else is new around Old Smoke for this holiday season?
Well, we're really pushing our Superfecta Club, and that's been a great gift idea for a lot of fans, horse racing fans. And that is a club that's Superfecta because it's four packages during the year.
Love it.
So it makes sense, right? And they get a quarterly package. It's an exclusive tee that we make just for the club members, and it is something that we will never sell on our site. So they get to be the ones that have something exclusive, and that always includes some unique package fillers. And if you, as a member of the club, we do a lot of betting contests around the big races, and JK often gives us some of his Superfecta picks that we pass on to our members. So it's a lot of fun.
That's great. Where's the best place to get info on that? Just if you go to the homepage on oldsmokeclothing.com?
Yeah, homepage, you'll see it. There's if you go right to our homepage, there's a tab that says membership, and that has a lot of detail around all that.
It's a brand that's worth supporting. And I think, you know, this is, it's similar to like the In the Money Plus model or the Patreon model. You see it with certain other boutique type companies and podcasts where you're getting extra stuff that you can't get anywhere else. And you're also supporting a cool brand. So I definitely recommend people check it out. What does it cost to join the Superfecta Club?
The Superfecta Club is a $150 membership.
Gotcha. And then you get those four packages a year plus some bonus content. I love the sound of it. Tell us more, any specific designs? What's been selling outside of the JK collection over at Old Smoke?
You know, we were lucky enough to work with Nix Go. That's been a huge seller. We have a really cool Nix Go t-shirt. Obviously, that horse is maybe arguably the best on the planet right now. And after Breeders' Cup, that's been a huge holiday seller for us. And everything else is pretty consistent. You know, everything moves. They kind of shift. You know, Bob Baffert was a bestseller for a while, and things shift around. So it's been cool. And you know, the JK stuff has just been absolutely going like crazy. And we do have, keep an eye out. There's two new JK drops coming in around. But right now we're planning December 15th to drop those. And those are awesome.
Well, we'll have to, we'll bring him on to yap about those when the moment comes. Now, if they're dropping that late, is that something that will be, I assume it's not going to be able to be under the tree.
Yeah, we're going to get it under the tree. So we're working on a drop for that. As I'm sure everyone in the world knows, supply chain is just a disaster.
Yeah, that's why I was shocked to think that you could even possibly do that.
I'm 99% confident they'll be in our inventory, in our warehouse by December 14th, December 15th. And we will drop them all over the place. And I will guarantee a priority shipment for those. If it's December 15th, 16th kind of thing, I'll be able to get them under the tree.
All right. Well, that's great news. And again, we'll come back and tell people about that when the time comes. So with the success of the JK collection, and particularly this pocket tee, it is making me think it's time for another In the Money Media t-shirt. Is it finally time for the May You Win All Your Photos shirt? That's what I have to ask you.
I love that. I love that.
I was thinking, I know you have a very popular design. That's the photo finish t-shirt, right? That's been a good seller over the years for you.
It was, you know, we retired that one.
So see, this could almost be, here's my vision, almost like some sort of sequel of that. Obviously not the same image, but some other image of that ilk. But maybe it's, you know, instead of the photo finish, it's the May You Win All Your Photos. My other very goofy idea that I don't think I want to actually do, but you know, when you produce audio, you this is a little bit down the rabbit hole, but people will hopefully be able to follow along. When I look at the file that I'm going to post to create a podcast, we look at what we call a waveform, which is a visual representation of the audio with the pauses and the highs and the lows, etc. And you can see at the end of every In the Money Players podcast, when I say the line, I can now actually physically recognize what that looks like in its waveform. I was thinking of maybe trying to incorporate that into a design, but I think I like this photo finish sequel idea better.
I like that a lot. I really do. That was a really good seller. You know, with us, it's you constantly try to be creative and do new stuff. And then when you do, people want to bring back the old stuff. It's kind of funny, but that is a great idea and was a very, very good seller for us.
Everything old is new again, right?
Yeah.
It's in the world of fashion, that's certainly true, right?
It always comes back around.
next thing, we'll have some Old Smoke bell bottoms.
I think what we should do I think we should do an In the Money Club. I think that would be great.
That's actually a good idea. Take the In the Money Plus to another level and get some attire in there as well.
Yeah. We could come up with some concepts. We've got millions of them, and then have them vote, you know, something like that would be really cool.
That's very fun. All right. This is good. You know, production meeting in the middle of the show stuff that we'll take offline to take it to the next level, but there's going to be a lot more fun stuff happening with Old Smoke. It's been so fun to collaborate with you. And yeah, you mentioned about the JK shirts taking over the track. It's absolutely been the case. It was fun seeing that at the Breeders' Cup. And I love that Secretariat design. I didn't realize you still had any of those left. If you're out there in the sound of my voice, that's one in particular I'm going to give a little push to as far as the JK collection goes. That one it's on that same oldsmokeclothing.com/JK page?
It is. And those are limited edition. We only made 224 of those, as in
magic number, 224.
And they are just about gone. There's some odd sizes left that.
Okay.
But and then that was a lot of fun to do. And hopefully we'll be able to do another one with Secretariat this year.
I love it. Great stuff, Kurt. Any final thoughts, closing thoughts as we get ready to wrap up this degenerate gift giving guide?
Yeah. I mean, I hope everyone has a happy holiday. And if anyone has any questions about anything, they can email us at info@oldsmokeclothing.com. And appreciate you having me on.
Great stuff. Happy holidays, my friend.
You too, buddy. Take care.
That's going to do it for this edition of the show. I'd like to thank, let's see if I can get them all, Jennifer Kelly, Kim Weir, Charles Grabitsky, Holly Seidewan, Michelle Yu, and Kurt Rosner. I think we did get them all. Good stuff. Want to thank our founding partners, 10 Strike Racing. You know how we love to root for the purple and black around here. And of course, heard about them earlier in the show. Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, trfinc.org/players, the place to go to donate to them. All our partners, especially our latest partners, Adelphi Racing, been great working with them this holiday season as we kick things off. Most of all, though, we'd like to thank all of you, the listeners, for making these shows so much fun to do. There'll be some other holiday content, maybe a Christmas quiz, maybe a musical interlude, all that kind of stuff. But let's kick off the season in style with this DG Gift Giving Guide. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Coatney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos. Looks so cool in the waveform.
Just me.